Did you know that our verse tonight is going to talk about Jesus being the ruler of all creation? Because I'm gonna give you a bigger passage. I was given a verse tonight, and I'm going to read it. I'll start off. It says, "Here I am. I stand at the door, and I knock. If anyone hears me, hears my voice, and opens the door, I will come in. I'll eat with you." Now, the other day I saw one of these clips. Anybody here proud of doom scrolling? Want to raise your hand? Anyone? You want to own that? What? Blake and I went to high school together, so, you know, we both know we're knuckleheads. But if you don't know who I am, my name is Peyton Jones, by the way. I challenge you, anybody, I think I'm the reigning OG other than Daryl Van Etten for this church. I started going to this church back in 1987. And if you're wondering why you've never seen me before, it's because I left for the mission field in 1999. But I was watching this clip the other day out of YouTube. It was just a little clip. It was obviously part of a bigger movie. And I was really touched by it because it seemed like this really touching family story. It was like about a dad and a son, and he's trying to tell his son, "I love you, son, and you gotta join. I know you're probably mad at me, but you gotta join with me." And it was funny though, because he was in this costume and it looked like he was a black space samurai. His name was Darth Vader. And his son is all twisted up and all upset, you know, like he's touched, he's crying, and he's saying, "Luke, I'm your father." And it's like, must have been this estrangement story. And, you know, I start to tear up when I'm watching this clip, thinking, I got to watch this movie. So it's like a very warm family movie. And the son, you know, like, son can't believe I found my dad. He's so happy. I'm like, I can't. And then the clip stopped. And I was like, man, I want to see the rest of that story. I could use a feel-good family movie right now. Of course, you all know what happened. Spoiler alert, if you don't know, that was Empire Strikes Back. It was Darth Vader. He's evil. He just cut Luke's hand off. And it fell down a hole. And then Luke falls down a hole. Like, it's not a happy story. But context is everything, right? So when I read the verse and I say, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock," I know you're thinking, what door? What are we talking about? Context is important because so often we use this verse for people who don't know Jesus. But here's the shocker. If you back up and you watch the whole movie, you get the context of this verse. He's talking to a church. He's saying, "Hey, I'm outside. And I want to come in." That's why you knock. You knock because you're outside and you want to come in. Everybody got that? Okay, that was probably the deepest thing I'm going to say today. But when I first moved to Wales, I didn't know the cultural norms. You see, in Welsh culture, if you want to show people you care about them, you show up their house unannounced. It shows you care. Now, I grew up here. You don't do that. You definitely didn't do that before cell phones, and you for sure don't do it after cell phones, right? There's a comedian going around. He says, you know, back in my day, you know, my mom, she was a 50s lady. You know, someone knocked on the door. She's like, "Hey, everybody, we got company. Everybody, go clean, go scrub up." She brought the Intamin's cake out. She sat on the table, you know, the Intamin's cake you can never eat because we might have company. That's what the comedian said. And so many of us remember those days. He says, nowadays, someone knocks on the door, and you're like, "Who's that?" Scary. So this guy knocks on my door, and I was doing a bunch of youth work when I first got to Wales. I was ministering there. Guy knocks on my door, and I open it up, and Simon, he's about 16 years old. I'm like, "Oh, Simon, how you doing?" He goes, "I'm all right. Came to see if you're all right. You all right? You all right, mate?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. You okay?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, thanks for checking on me." I said, "I'll see you later. See you Sunday at church." Started to shut the door. As I'm shutting the door, I see this puzzled look on his face. I still shut the door. But I think to myself, I should call the pastor and ask him, hey, this happened. And he goes, oh no, you left Simon on the door? That's a thing there. You know, like here we say, put the phone down on me. Well, there they say, he left me standing on the door. And people are like, oh, never. Like that would be like terrible to a Welsh person. Like unthinkable. They're like the Hawaiians of the world, so hospitable. And I left him on the door. Well, Jesus is here. They have left Jesus on the door. He's been knocking for a long time, but they've never let him in. So let's back up a bit and let's watch The Empire Strikes Back from the start. Let's find out what this passage actually is about. He says to the angel, oh, and by the way, I'm here to preach a sermon and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. So open your Bible, verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Exhibit A. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. If you have the Old King James, it's spew. That's a word we don't use enough, spew. But unfortunately, some of us hear this. And these are hard words, right? I always think that a little bit of sugar coating helps the medicine go down, to quote Mary Poppins. A little bit of humor takes the edge off. But there's a problem with this verse. We read this through our modern experiences and we think lukewarm. And you've heard this preached, right? Don't want to be lukewarm, want to be hot or cold. And we kind of read it in a way that's outside of the realm of what we know about Jesus. Like, first off, can you ever imagine Jesus saying to you, I want you to be cold? No. I can imagine him saying, I want you to be hot for me. Like, that would be great. But some people preach this like Jesus is saying, hey, you're not on fire for me enough, so I'm just going to spew you straight into hell. That didn't sound like the gospel to me. I'm sorry. But listen, if I ask Siri tonight and I say, hey, Siri, I think I'm going to try to get to heaven, but I need you to bypass all the toll roads and get me there by my own zeal or ability or good works. You know, so Jesus doesn't spew me out of his mouth. You know what Siri come back and say? All right, Peyton, I'm actually going to find you the fastest way to hell, and it is by your own good works. So you're not going to get to heaven, but that's the fastest route to hell, is by trusting in yourself. And in fact, Paul writes an entire letter about this where he says, look, guys, you're trying to get there by your own zeal. You're zealous for the law. I was zealous for the law. But that'll take you straight to hell. So just knowing the gospel, I got to back up and kind of like Lieutenant Columbo, scratch my head a bit and say, see, there's something I don't understand. It's okay to do that with the Bible, to back up and say, there's something I don't understand. Because he's writing to a group of people, and I don't know about you, but I saw at the beginning it says, to the church in Laodicea, and that's not my address. So I need to go and look, what was the church of Laodicea? How does this relate to them? Well, I have good news for you. I've actually been there, and I've actually stood in the place where they got their water from. So Jesus is talking about water here. And here's what you need to know. Just across the valley from Laodicea is a place called Pamukkale. Anybody been there? You've probably seen pictures of it on your screensaver on your TV at home. There's these beautiful cascading limestone pools, and you can go in them. It's kind of gross, like people are walking around, but they're hot springs. They're amazing. And I've walked around and sloshed around in them. Now, while people were doing that, back then it was called Hierapolis. They didn't call it Pamukkale. It was Hierapolis. And people would be bathing in there because they were told it was medicinal to heal all their diseases. It didn't, but that's what they were told, and they believed that superstitiously. Well, here's the problem. Laodicea didn't have any springs. They were all the way across the valley, so they made a conduit pipe system, and the same water everybody was, you know, bathing in, went all the way across the valley, and by the time it got there, it was not hot. It was lukewarm. And the mineral content in it was so high that if, you know, like when you travel and they're like, don't drink the water, don't drink the water, it'll make you spew, it would make you spew. So Jesus is not saying, I want you cold for me. That'd be weird for him to say. Do you think Jesus dies on the cross for you and then says, I'd rather have you totally turn off from me? That's not the Jesus I know. He's saying to this church, hey, you're just kind of blah. And I'd rather you be cold and refreshing like the water we like to drink, or hot and medicinal like the water we like to bathe in. They were just like us. They like cold water to drink and hot water to bathe in. And Jesus says, but you're not, it's not that you're not hot enough for me. It's that you're neither refreshing to the people around you and you're not healing to the people around you. And he goes on to say why. And let me just, before we do that, I just want to emphasize again, don't ever think that your own zeal or your own obedience is going to keep you in Jesus. It's not. Let me read you an old hymn. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. That means like frame of mind, my attitudes, my heart. Anyone like got bad attitude today? Spouses, do not poke them in the ribs right now. Okay? If you have a teenager, don't point. They'll have a bad mood for 4 years. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And then the gospel in this hymn says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So Jesus is saying, listen, you're neither refreshing to the people around you, nor are you healing to the people around you. So here's the thing. He says, this is why that you're like this. And he goes into the verses and he tells them, you say I'm rich, I have everything I need. What was causing it was they were self-satisfied. Have you ever like felt like you have so many things going on in your life, you just don't have time for Jesus? Like he's not at the center of everything anymore? Jesus is saying, I want to be at the center. I'm not picky. You can be cold. You can be hot. You can be refreshing. You can be medicinal. But I want to be at the center of everything you do. He says, how I want for you. You say I'm poor or I'm rich. I'm clothed in wonderful clothes. All these physical material things. And Jesus goes on to say, but you can't see your spiritual state. Years ago, there was an immigrant. He took someone up on a high rooftop like this, and he said, you know, when I came to this country, I had nothing. I didn't have two pennies to rub together, but you know what I did? I worked hard. I scrimped. I saved. And now everything you see in that direction is mine. And they go, oh, wow. He said, come over here. Takes him to the other corner of the rooftop and says, see out there? When I came to this country, I had nothing. And I have two pennies to rub together, but you know what? I worked hard, gave the same speech. He did it in all four directions. And there was a Christian standing there at that moment. He goes, hey, that's really impressive. You own everything in that direction, that direction, that direction. How much do you own in this direction? Jesus is standing outside of the door. And he's saying to them, knock, knock. I want to come in. I notice he says, if you open the door, I will come in and I will eat with you. That's amazing to me. Like, stop and think about it. If you worshiped Allah, Allah would not say these kinds of things to you. If you follow the teachings of Buddha, Buddha is not going to say this to you. There is no other religion, Hindu religion, nobody's going to say to you, I want to spend time with you. See, what Jesus is saying is kind of like when our spouse notices we've been doom scrolling too much and they feel they're losing us to something. By the way, I don't have these apps on my phone, so I know it sounds like I'm confessing, but golf, I don't golf either. Notice I'm using all the ones I don't do. But we all know this, right? We know what it is. When our spouse is saying, hey, I just miss you. I don't see you anymore. I don't spend time with you anymore. We don't talk. And Jesus is saying, if you open the door, I will come in and I will get to know you and you will get to know me. That is amazing to me that we worship a God that loves us so much that that's what he wants. And in fact, he wants you not to misunderstand this so much that he says in verse 19, to those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. The word earnest there means honest. Be honest. Stop hiding. Stop pretending. Stop being like, oh yeah, me and Jesus, we're like this. But you're just lackadaisical. He says, I really want to come in and get to know you, and I'm knocking. I want you to think about this tonight. Does the fact that Jesus says, I just love you, because that meta message with our spouses, you know, it comes out sometimes like they're like, hey, you've been doing this a lot, right? You can tell this is autobiographical now, right? I have my things, you have yours. But what we miss the meta message. You know, we're like, oh, no, I'm doing what I want. And Jesus is saying, I love you. It's like your spouse. Well, that meta message is, I love you. I just want you. Notice how he said at the beginning, and everybody gets this, right? He says, to the angel at the church of Laodicea, right? That's Jesus dictating a message. He's dictating a message just for them. And every single one of them gets a heading that's different from the other one. So when Jesus says, I am the faithful witness, the Amen, the ruler of creation, it's interesting that he talks about creation, just like we saw. Do you realize everything that we have around us, all of this is a setting for relationship? That's what creation was all about. It was a setting so that relationship could happen. When Jesus says, I love you, I'm saying this to you because I love you. I want to spend time with you. It's amazing to me. An old preacher said it this way. As it is, we sometimes find it hard to spend 1 hour with Jesus. But if we knew his love for us, we would find it hard to spend 1 hour away from him. Creation was all about love. I say this to people I love. I say it because I love you. Listen, if you don't believe me, think back to creation. Jesus, if you don't believe me, hear Jesus. He tells his Father the night before he's crucified, before he hangs on a cross and dies and bleeds out for your sins, he says to his Father, you have loved them. It's as if Jesus is stunned. You've loved them with the same love you have loved me with before the foundation of the world. I want you to pause for a second and think to yourself, how much does the Father love the Son? And now you need to tell yourself, Jesus just told the Father that he sees the Father loving me as much as he loves Jesus. In eternity past, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, there was so much love. So much love in the Godhead. An incredible love. And like human couples, when they say, you know, this love we have is so good. It's so amazing. You know, the only thing that would make it better is if we had someone to share it with. That's why they have a child. And it's an extension of their love between each other to share the love that they have that cannot be contained within itself. It's so great that it has to be shared. And in that, we find this divine romance in the Bible where God creates the world. And guess what? Last time I checked, that is on your address. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you're not in a church and you're not a Christian, this is for you too. He's knocking on the door and he's saying to you, these are the words of the faithful witness, the amen. Amen, by the way. Amen was the way that if there were a couple witnesses, they would say amen. Like, yeah, that's true testimony. Jesus is saying, you can bank on what I'm saying. Because I wonder about you, like, it's one thing to not open a door, like, you know, like that comedian said, because you don't know who it is, and you're kind of like, I'm going to hide and turn off the lights and just pretend we're not here, and I'm going to ghost who was ever outside. And, you know, you can think to yourself, like, who could it be? Who did I miss? You can miss an opportunity, right? Like, it could be the pizza guy. He's like, hey, you know, we got the pizza order wrong. You know, I got 10 pizzas. You know, the neighbor, he only ordered 3, but for some reason, we got it with 13. I don't know what happened. Someone put a 1 there, and I'm just trying to get pizzas away. You find out that, you're going to be like, you know, that's one thing. But if the next day you find out your neighbor's like, oh yeah, you know, we had tickets to Elton John's last show and we couldn't go. We were just checking to see if you wanted them. Well, now we're talking a little bit of higher stakes, right? You all like Elton John, right? Right. It was really quiet then. The Eagles, I mean, I could go through the list, but. But to miss Jesus knocking at the door of your heart, where he's saying, listen, I will come in and we will really get to know each other. Here's the beauty of it. He already knows you. That's why he's saying, these are the words of the faithful witness, the amen. Like, I know you don't believe me. He's saying, I know you think, oh no, Jesus wouldn't want to spend time with me. That's probably why we don't open the door. Because we don't really believe that he is 100% crazy about us. But Jesus says, if you hear me knocking, you know what? You know tonight. You know. This is what I love about Jesus. He's gentle. He knocks. You ever had someone that just keeps knocking? Jesus talked about that. If Jesus knocks, he told a parable. He said, you know, just keep knocking. Just keep knocking. Right? Remember that parable? Just keep knocking. Don't give up. Jesus is not going to give up on you. He wants to be so close to you, closer than you can even imagine. And I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. And everybody stand up, because I don't want this to be a peer pressure thing. So don't worry, you could be sitting down in your heart, right? And I'm going to ask you to pray tonight. And you may not know Jesus. And if you've heard him knocking on your heart tonight, you can open that door too. Because he's right there. I love the shock value of this. We talked about that a little bit. When Jesus says, here I am. Surprise. You have the King James. Behold. That means, whoa, check it out. I'm here. He's here. Listen. He's here right now. Because if that was true for them, it's true for you. And you know when he's been knocking a long time. And you know when you've kept him on the door. And he's saying tonight, surprise, I'm here. I sent this knucklehead from San Diego to talk to you, to tell you this. Because I could have gone full-blown gospel tonight, unbelievers. But Jesus is talking to his church here. And he'll open, like literally, if anyone will open this door, he says, I'll come in. I'll be with you. You're worth it to me. Any God that thinks you're worth dying on the cross for, thinks you're worth spending time with. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask while I pray that you open the door to him in your own way, in your own heart. I'm just going to pause for a minute to let you talk to him You've got the lock on your side of the door. You've got the doorknob. He's just knocking. So just spend a second with him. Lord Jesus, we know that our apathy or our being busy, it is upsetting to your stomach, Lord. Lord, like a lovesick individual, you just say, you know what, it upsets me. I can't stomach it. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much, Lord, that you are willing to have those talks with us. So, Lord, we open the door to you tonight. We know, Lord, that all it takes is for us to say, Jesus, I want to stop shutting you out. I just want to open, I want to get to know you better than I've ever known you before. I want to go on that journey, Lord. I don't want to keep you on the door. Lord, I want to know that love that you have for me. I want to start experiencing it. I don't want it to be like that secondhand water that piped down all the way from across the valley. No secondhand experiences, living off other people's experiences and sermons, other people's worship. Lord, I want to experience you. Like Paul said, I want to know him and the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. And when he said that, he said, I want to know him to the full, as much as I can possibly know you, Jesus. Because here's the reality. You fully know us. You fully know us. And we can say like Peter, Lord, depart from me. I'm a wicked, sinful person. And you just won't go away. You won't quit on us. You won't ditch us. And you won't stop knocking. We love you, Jesus. We worship you tonight.